Okay, welcome back for the third hour of Cancel the Cabal. I read the book for the first 2 hours, Sexual Sabotage, by Dr. Judith Reisman, to help explain the last 60-plus years, 70-plus years, of the cabal of criminals and their dastardly deeds. You ever heard of that book? My guest, Judson Witham. You ever heard of that book?
No, I haven't. I'll have to take a look at it. I know that the super rich are generational, primarily.
Yeah.
And they're very incestual, and it's a well-financed orgy.
Yes, it is. Welcome back to the show. It's only been a couple of weeks, but... Dr. Judith Reisman, I think she started her research in college, I think the late 60s, early 70s maybe, but she just died like about a year and a half ago. She was well into her 80s, mid-80s, I believe. She's been putting out the word against the sexual revolution of the 60s. And what that entailed with was her book is called Sexual Sabotage, How One Mad Scientist Unleashed a Plague of Corruption and Contagion on America. His two books, one in 1948, was called Human Sexuality of the Human Male. And 1953, his second book was The Sexuality of the Human Female. And what he basically did was he was a pedophile, and he got other pedophiles to be in his group, and they called it science. And what they did was molest children of all ages, and they called it a sexual revolution. And it defiled an entire group of, you know, children of the 50s and 60s. The baby boomers is what he did. But I know we're going to talk about a few other things. I just wanted to see if maybe you wanted to get that book or something.
I'll look at it, and I'm sure I'll find some interesting facts to relate to. The pedophilia that you're discussing in an association with MKUltra and some of the more interesting mental experiments, psychological tampering that the CIA has done are quite famous.
Yeah.
Particularly, you know, the LSD experiments and things of that nature. What went on in California with with the family, I guess Charles Manson and that crew are pretty famous.
Yeah,
the Kool-Aid acid tests and Adolf Huxley. You know, some of the revelations that are written about in those books are quite fascinating.
Yes,
and then of course, fast forward to Bill and Hillary Clinton. And Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump and the Bush Mafia, you know, Jebby and Neil and
W.
Marvin and yep. That's quite a fascinating look into the psychoses of these very wealthy people.
Yes.
And then bring us forward to this. Very stupid person. You know, well, I've got to tell you that when you see the sexual promiscuity.
Promiscuity. Yeah, yes.
The promiscuity of Mafia Donald and his inner circle of strippers, you know. You got to stop and ask yourself a question, you know, is ejaculation his God? Or is it, you know, just something that he tries to use to prove he's a man?
Well, I think I've got this feeling, this theory that the more women a man goes after, the more he's trying to prove to himself and others that he's straight. I don't know. Maybe I'm just off base.
You know, I made a very stupid, you know, Trump carries on about the world's going to wind up in World War III and get blown up and we won't have a world left because of stupid people. Well, I made kind of a bad decision to live amongst the Mormons in Utah. And, you know, when you hear the word Mormon and you think of the wives of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, you kind of scratch your head and you say, huh, more man, multiple wives, more man. So you got to stop and ask yourself a question, you know, where did they come up with that idea of more man? And it have something to do with their sexual addiction to ejaculation. I mean, you know, sex is, you know, has its appropriate. I think it's horribly abused. I don't find it. I've got two daughters. And, you know, I take that position as a father pretty seriously, you know. So, having been raised in the Presbyterian church, my parents, and understanding the quality of their character, I took my Christianity pretty seriously, you know, up until I started having questions about why this God and why that God, and damn God, you know, what do you have, vacation today? What the hell's up with this God? What the hell's up with that God? I mean, where are you, God? Did you die, God? Gauntlet of the same questions a lot of other people have concerning, you know, what I guess would be called a Christian soldier's walk. Haven't you found yourself just miffed, mad at God?
No. I blame man for all that myself. You know, that there's many times in this book so far, I've gone through six full chapters into the seventh chapter where she says like something to the effect of, well, the baby boomers, you know, the children of the greatest generation, or the greatest generation was duped and fell for the lies of Alfred Kinsey. And, you know, I said something last week about it, and I had to make a comment that nobody is duped or nobody is fooled into doing something that they don't already want to do. Don't you think?
I believe that you tell a lie often enough, a lot of people will accept it as fact. Now, here in the last few days, there is a bill before the Israeli cabinet to make discussion of Jesus in Israel a criminal offense punishable by jail time. And it's real. I mean, this is a real legislative pursuit in the cabinet of Netanyahu.
Well, that just means to me that they want to get rid of the last remaining 1.6 million Palestinians. That's what that sounds like to me.
Well, again, we go back to, you know, how people are persuaded into really stupid ideas. When you look at the endeavors of Joseph Smith and his cousin, I can't remember his first name, Harris, that, you know, they used seer stones and a hat, Martin Harris, and a hat to decipher the gold plates that Joseph Smith had been given in the grove in Palmyra, New York, that he, you know, unearthed from the base of a tree, I guess it was, because the angel told him where the plates were hidden. And from those golden plates, that he would put inside a hat, and he'd put on what were known as seer stones. He would transcribe and decipher these plates into what's known as the Book of Mormon. Now, stop and, you know, put yourself in the time period of just before the Civil War, the Civil War, and ask yourself, you know, how educated were most of the people that Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and Martin Harris and a few of the other people associated with the LDS Church? How sophisticated were a lot of these people? And the answer was not very. Now, there's a new science actually emerging planet Earth this afternoon. This is real. I'm not making this up. Scientists are beginning to write more and more about a subspecies of Homo sapien. Homo stupidius is what they've labeled it. In other words, there's an awful lot of... No, I'm serious. I'm not making this up. They've determined that there's an enormous number of very stupid people in the world.
Right.
So if you go back to an age where, you know, most people, they certainly didn't have anything like a television or anything like a computer. Or pretty much they didn't even have libraries on the frontier with a lot of these down-home kind of country folk. So when they encountered a man that wore, you know, Eastern clothes of somebody who was well-to-do, and he was a grand speaker and a snake oil charmer, you know, he could charm the pants off you.
Yeah.
Joseph Smith.
Yeah. But I know you just mentioned something, but John D. Rockefeller's father, he was run out of most of the Midwest and the West because he was a snake oil salesman. And the people of the 1840s and 50s knew it.
You know, today, right this moment in the world, there are some extremely dangerous things going on. I don't know how many people have died in the last few decades from what we call shock and awe and what we call justified war. And, you know, you look at what's happening with China and Taiwan, and you look at Putin and Zelensky, I guess, is that it? And you stop and ask yourself a question, you know, exactly what is it precisely that was the premise that Putin ordered a military assault on Western Ukraine? What was going on that caused Vladimir Putin to do what he did? Or what is it exactly that caused or provoked Adolf Hitler to do what he did? You know, he apparently he didn't particularly care too much for the Jewish religion. And he had a problem, apparently, according to some people in history anyways, that he had a very deep hatred for the Jews.
Not so much
but,
a Jew.
I mean, what exactly was going on in his mind is the better question.
Well, in his
what
own,
what's he trying to do?
In his own book, Judd, he said it wasn't the Jews. He said it was the Zionist. It's what he was trying to get rid of.
So we've got this human condition that all of us are challenged with. And I'm going to make a few people laugh here with this, but I've got an older daughter that she's been affected by a lot of the pressures and things in the world. And she's been affected by a lot of peer pressure. And I think in many respects, when we were living in Utah, she kind of got targeted because of me. People don't necessarily agree with some of my reasoning. And the LDS Mormon Church at one point labeled me as a spy. And that's just, you know, that's a reality of it. At Mount Pleasant, Utah, where I, as an educational undertaking, decided to attend LDS Mormon Church for, oh God, almost 2 years. I wanted to understand what was going on. I wanted to learn about the culture and the history. Called Mormonism actually is. What caused that was my younger daughter was attending school in Mount Pleasant at San Jacinto County, not San Jacinto, St. Pete County, excuse me, school there in Mount Pleasant. And so we began to have her friends at this school 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 times a day. They wanted to convert my youngest daughter to Mormonism, resulting in her coming to me and asking me if it's okay she joined the Mormon Church. So I decided to take this approach, which may be a mistake, but I took it. I said, well, I can't make that decision for you. That's something very personal between you and your belief or non-belief in God. And, you know, if you decide to join the church, I'll have to support it. You're my daughter. I love you. So that was a horrible decision, by the way, Steve. But I'm sorry.
No, run away, run away.
But she had these friends, you know, and I decided I'd go down to the church with her and just kind of make sure everything was copacetic, you know. I heard about their, you know, multiple wives and polygamy, and I heard about fundamentalists liking girls that were too young and blah, blah, blah. So when I wound up down at this church in Fairview, Utah, that's where I got labeled a spy, by the way. But in any event, it's a long story. But in any event, this young friend of hers told me that I was supposed to go in there and for Sunday, you know, Book of Mormon classes. You're supposed to go in over there. And I didn't know. So I went in, and for 2 years, I was in the Mormon priesthood. They thought I was priesthood. I mean, I didn't know I wasn't. And I didn't have any idea that we were, you know, I was in meeting with the big dogs of the Mormon Church in Zion, the San Pete Valley. I mean, this is where when the world goes berserk and it's the end time, that's where the Mormons will gather in San Pete County. And that's where they'll survive the end times, in that valley by Mount Nebo.
I don't really know much about the Mormonism or the Mormon.
Well, it's just an experiment in how people are bludgeoned into belief systems.
Do they believe that, just like the Catholics do, that unless you're Catholic, you're going to go to hell? Or
how does that?
Really?
Yeah.
So they got the same.
Yeah, the LDS Mormon Church is the pinnacle of, I don't know. They're not a Christian church, I can tell you that. They come across with the Book of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But when you get into it, it's this very elaborate story that was transcribed from these golden plates that Martin Harris would listen to Joe Smith, you know, transcribe from inside the hat with the seer stones. And I'm not making this story up. That's exactly where their so-called, you know, Book of, you know, Mormon came from. It was from these gold plates that the angel Moroni, which, by the way, on the top of all their temples, there's a gold figurine of an angel. That's Moroni. I'm serious. I have no reason to lie about it. I attended some law school at Brigham Young University until I told I was no longer welcome, and I got trespassed by university police. I wouldn't convert. They found out I wasn't Mormon priesthood, man, I became the spy.
You mentioned
I've been in priesthood, right in with the big dogs of the church for 2 years.
Now, you mentioned before that you're a ordained minister. Is that what, a Baptist or Pentecostal or what?
I was raised by, my father was Catholic, my grandmother was Catholic. Some of my father's sisters and such were all Catholic. And then my mother was Presbyterian. So, I was raised as a child to recite the Lord's Prayer, which isn't the worst thing in the world you can do, I guess. But, I was raised in a Judeo-Christian household. And later in life, I met a man, and he was a Navy submarine officer. He was fire control officer on a Seawolf diesel submarine during the Second World War. I guess that's what they were, Seawolf class diesel sub. Chief Petty Officer. He wound up being my father-in-law after a while, but he thought I needed to be a minister, so he ordained me, because he had received his doctorate in divinity from Tulane University and had been a he'd been a preacher in the Navy, and he had a church in Arizona, and he was a preacher man from Kentucky, by the way. Them hillbilly Kentucky people, he was a kind of a hillbilly preacher, I suppose. But back to the point, the LDS Mormon, their main objective in life is to convert as many people as they can to bring in tithes, money, and wood and machinery and pickup trucks and water and cattle and chickens and goats and whatever you got. They'll take it into the church and use it as their resources. It's a way to enrich the leaders of the church, like Brigham Young and Martin Harris, and like Joe Smith, so that they could afford their multiple wives. The polygamy was financed by the ties to the church. So these guys were having their, many children, and their, marathon ejaculations, making more and more little Mormon babies. And I mean, you can read about the polygamists. You'll find out that most of the polygamists, they've got these families of 25, 30 children.
Right.
So, and then you've got some of the more bizarre types that they're referred to as the FLDS, the Fundamental Latter-day Saints.
Uh-huh.
They engage in some really, out there behavior. But again, back to the point, you live in these small communities and you get the same story over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And after, a little while, you start believing it. You tell a lie often enough, people start believing it. It's like this committee of Elise Stefanik and Jim Jordan and, this bunch associated with what's called the weaponization hearings in Washington. And they're calling them the new church committee hearings, where they're going to expose to the world and put an end to the weaponization of the government against the people. It's going on right now in D.C.
Right.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal to a lot of people. But here in the last few days, I've had people who I was kind of shocked. They came out and they said that this Manhattan district attorney in New York, he needs to be investigated and his funding needs to be cut. And, they've called him everything in the book to get him to drop the, what's her name there?
Clinton?
Well, what's her name? Daniels?
Daniels, yes. Stormy Daniels.
Stormy. Yes, Stormy Daniels. They want him to drop the Stormy Daniels case, you know? So, I mean, that kind of miffed me that, so I called up a few of the prosecutor's offices and told them, you know, if the grand juries return indictments, prosecute it to the best you can. I mean, if a grand jury returns indictments after hearing grand jury testimony and seeing grand jury evidence and they true bill the indictment, you know, district attorneys sort of have an obligation to prosecute because the indictment's been true billed.
Is
the information, excuse me, the information's been true billed.
I don't.
So I had to call a few politicians' office and read them the Riot Act.
I don't follow this.
Who in the hell buys into this idea that it's okay to run the White House and have it full of strippers?
Yeah, I don't really follow this circus show much. But is that what they were supposed to have arrested Trump for today?
Did he get arrested? Did he get arrested?
I don't know. Like I said, I don't really follow the,
well, here's the bottom
clown
line.
Circus show.
Let me give you the bottom line where I'm going off with this Stormy Daniels singing. Donald Trump, and I'm going to be right to the point. I think that he should be barred from any effort to run for anything beyond maybe dog catcher. The guy has demonstrated over and over and over and over again, all his scammer. He games the system. He's a scammer. You know, he's a bullshit artist. And, you know, he used to like to grab him by the
baloney.
You know, I won't say it. I know you're Christian Station, so.
Baloney artist.
He'd go around with Jeffrey Epstein and grab him by the junk, you know, and his relationship with Epstein and his obvious moral failings in his life. And, you know, what kind of father, what kind of man who is involved with the Miss America pageant decides to take a tour of the dressing rooms while the pageant ladies are, you know, disrobing and they're half naked and half dressed. I mean, what
right.
kind of man
right.
thinks that he should be walking around in the dressing rooms feasting on the vision of these naked young women?
Well, you know, power hungry men have always, Judson, they've always thought of themselves as above all the rest of us. So,
well, Steve, in all honesty, you know, I'm going to be 67 years old, and I'm a father, and I'm a son, and I'm a grandson, and I am a minister, probably the one they want to burn at the stake as a heretic. I got some different ideas about God's kingdom than some other people.
Right.
But
not us here,
idea
though.
That strippers in the White House, and I see all these clergy that flocked to Donald Trump, and they're laying hands on him, and they're praying, and they've got these images of him down on his hands and knees, and he's, you know,
yeah,
he's,
you know,
supposedly this born again Christian.
Well, you know what they all said to their parishioners? They all said, "Well, I'm hiring him to be my president, not my pastor."
Yeah, well, I don't want to go off and sound too narcissistic here, but I want to make a point very clear. My father served in the United States Navy as a carrier pilot, a fighter pilot, and the meat grinder of the Second World War is what he did. It sucked the life right out of him. He died very young at 51 years old because he couldn't get the images of that war, the smells and the sounds. He couldn't get the experience of what he did, what he saw, what he was involved in. He couldn't get it out of his head. He had a photographic memory. My father was a very educated young man when he went in to the service. And my mother She was a well-educated girl from Galloway, New York. She grew up on a farm. She was a Presbyterian, and her mother and father, good church-going people. Now, my grandmother, she was like Storman Norman Schwarzkopf of a Catholic. And, man, if you didn't do it politely, and, you know, if you didn't mind your P's and Q's and you did things that weren't legit, my grandmother would kick your fanny. She'd be all over you. She was mean. Oh, Della Guyette, French-Canadian woman, just the meanest Catholic you ever met in your life. But I look back at her, and I look back at my father, and I look back at my mother, and I can hear all three of them saying, degenerate strippers do not belong in the White House. And all this other sexual immorality that goes on at the White House, it's not appropriate. It's not acceptable. And I don't give a hoot which Republican or which Democrat thinks that that's old-fashioned and it doesn't have any place in American politics. And I got an answer for them. Get on down the road. We've had enough degeneracy in the White House over the last 50, 60 years. You know, I'm talking about Teddy Kennedy. I'm talking about his brother, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and his...
And Robert, yeah.
Wanderings with Robert F. with Marilyn Monroe. We've had enough degeneracy in the White House since the days of the slave farms in Virginia, where they would take the slaves they had and breed them so that, you know, they had more slaves. And that was okay for the longest time until, you know, apparently the English bankers and the royal crown, well, they were upset about the French and Indian War, and they were upset about losing the American Revolution, and they were kind of upset about losing the War of 1812. And they came back and tried to split the country during the Civil War with all these Southern generals, you know. And Abraham Lincoln decided that, well, he needed as many soldiers as he needed, so he emancipated the slaves in the South to join the Northern cause. And everybody knows, you know, pretty much that the North won the Civil War, right?
The banksters won the Civil War.
Well, that's where I was going with this whole thing, because you'll find this quite interesting, and it's, I found it very timely. My oldest daughter has problems with me. She's mad at me because I didn't give her a good enough birthday party, and I didn't get her a good enough. Well, I bought her 5, 6, 7 horses, so she had some pretty good ponies.
Right.
But she got this idea that when her life began to be difficult, that somehow Daddy was supposed to be able to be all and fix it all and finance it all. And just, you know, I was supposed to be this perfect Sears and Roebuck, you know, father knows best kind of dad.
The typical.
You've watched Lassie. You've watched Lassie.
Yes.
And you've watched Flipper, and my three sons. You know,
yep.
You've seen the whole thing. Andy and Opie and Aunt B. You've watched the TV family,
uh-huh.
Right? I was supposed to be the perfect TV daddy, and well, I have a big fight on my hands, right? You know, I fight the bankers, right, and all their frauds and money laundering and looting banks and. You know, I've been in this great, big, huge World War III with these bankers for about 40 years. So I've been a little preoccupied. And she blames me for it. When I voted for Donald Trump and campaigned for Donald Trump, it was because I was stopping the Clintons. I wasn't going to sit on the sidelines and watch Clinton or Bernie Sanders get in the White House. Bernie Sanders would
right.
have been a train wreck.
Right.
So I campaigned for Trump because, you know, I thought maybe he might keep his promises and actually you know, be a straight shooter about it. But, well, he lied to everybody. The night he got elected and had his victory party, he invited Hillary Clinton to come down, and he got the whole room to give her a standing ovation and a big round of applause as he was telling the room how much respect he had for Hillary. The night he got elected, this is after, you know, a year, 18 months of him and his stupid idiot followers chanting, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. He promised a special prosecutor, and he was going to get her locked up for her crimes. But then no sooner than he got elected, he did a 180. He did a 180, and he said, oh, it played. This is a quote. This is exactly what he said many times. It played well during the election. So he was playing the voters. A bullshit artist. Bull Pookie, I was going to try to practice.
Yeah, you said you said you were going to practice that. Yep.
I know that one slipped.
Baloney's good.
In any event,
Baloney's okay.
Yeah, bull baloney. Yeah, exactly.
Baloney.
But in any event, we're at this point tonight on this show as it's broadcast across the world.
What's that called?
God bless the cabal, man. God bless Stephen Robertson, the cabal, man. This is the last vestige of truth broadcasting is the cabal.
Yes, it is.
You know, we've got this situation where there's many lives in the balance. Remember that song by Jackson Browne, There's Lives in the Balance?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Beautiful song, you know, and it was from the, you know, Jackson Browne nailed it with that particular song. And I mean, how many civilians and how many kids are already dead because Joe Biden's a bumbling fool? He suffers from dementia, and he's psychotic. He shouldn't be in the White House. Joe Biden is like, how in the, you know what? How did we get here, ladies and gentlemen? So, you know, do I, you know, worship the leftards, they're the left coast, ultra left wing, or do I worship the ultra right wing? And the answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? No, I don't. But I do kind of worship the children and the families and grandmas and grandpas and, you know, brothers and the families, you know, and I don't care what their last names are. You know, this idea that, you know, they're trying to make it a crime in Israel to speak of Jesus. And I'm thinking to myself, and the American people sent them how many billions? Now, enough's enough.
Probably trillions.
The line's got to be. Well, they, you got to draw a line somewhere. And with this effort to make it a crime in Israel to speak of Jesus, I think every nickel and dime that has been appropriated for Israel needs to be stopped.
Well, no, like I was going to get into, Judson. They're going to have to get rid of the 1.6 million Arabs over there in Palestine because they revere Jesus as a great prophet, not so much the Son of God.
Let me tell you something. Let me, kids. You know, I don't know, 60, I was a kid. You remember being a kid, Steve? You were a kid once, right?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think I spent a whole lot of time thinking about, you know, my national allegiances.
Right.
I don't think I spent much time, you know, concentrating on my skin or the color of my eyes. I was fortunate, really. I grew up in a part of the world that's ancient Abenaki land, land of the Iroquois and land of the Oneida and Seneca and land of the Mohawk and the Mohegan. And, you know, I grew up on ancient land that at one point in time was known as King Hendrick's kingdom. He was a very powerful Iroquois. And northeastern New York, they're just a little west of Lake Champlain and a little bit north of Albany, up in the southern tier of the Adirondacks is where I was raised. And I had quite a interesting exposure to a lot of Native American families, which I'm very thankful for, because I learned some, you know, basic fundamental decencies in life. And one of the biggest decencies in life is thou shalt not kill. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's property.
Well,
you know, and
you know,
thou shalt not, you know, murder these people because they got oil, and I'm not going to murder those people because they got Mediterranean beachfront property that has been Palestine for how long?
Yeah, thousands.
You know, there's years. Palestinian deniers. They swear up in the Israelis, the so-called Jews, they swear up and down that, you know, Palestine never existed.
Right.
You know, until, I don't know, you look at the story of when Moses crossed the Red Sea, right? So where was Moses from again? He was a slave, and he took all of his slaves out of Pharaoh's dominion.
Yeah.
He removed how many? I don't know how many people went across the Red Sea with Moses, right?
All of them.
He wandered around lost. He was lost in the desert for 40 years, right?
Supposedly he took all of them, yeah.
So, you know, let's focus on Moses was lost in the desert for 40 years. I mean, I guess he didn't know where he was. Oh, come on, you can't have it both ways. I don't think, you know, Moses had a bumper sticker that said, "Is Israel or bust?" And God gave us all this land.
Maybe he had one that said coexist.
Now, don't get me wrong. You know, people try to raise the specter against me that I'm anti-Semitic. But you got to ask yourself precisely, what is a Semite?
Yeah.
You know, and when you answer that question for yourself precisely with, you know, precision, exactly, what is a Semite? You begin to realize it's not just the Hebrew or not just the Arab or not just what's known as Abrahamic Jews.
Yeah. Well, we've only got about 13 minutes left. I know we talked earlier. You were going to talk about the, both sides or something, I thought. Maybe we were going to.
Well, we've got some extremely serious matters involving these bankster gangsters and their hooliganism and, you know, the massive amounts of money that's been stolen out of the system. And it's happening again. I mean, I've personally lived through four of these great big money vanishing periods in U.S. history, you know, the savings and loan banks of the 80s, and then it happened again in the late 80s, and it happened again in the late 90s, and then it happened again in 2006, 7, and 8. And, well, here we go again.
Yep. The helicopter money.
Yeah, the helicopter, you know, mafia, where they print endless rivers of currency from the thin air with keystrokes. And people used to hear me talk about this. They thought I was nuts. You know, they really did until, you know, the truth came out. Now everybody knows about quantitative easing and stimulus bucks, right? Well, what's happened here is that they use these systems with Janet Yellen and Jerome Powell and Ben Bernanke and Alan Greenspan and Hank Snow. And, you know, they use this power of creation of money from thin air to turn everybody else into slaves. And that's exactly how it works. You saw how fast they came up with hundreds of billions of dollars. helicopter bucks, excuse me, keystrokes, to make sure that their filthy rich investor class gets covered at Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank.
But you know, Judson, they're not printing money out of thin air. They're taking a tune to $1 trillion a day from our trust, our SESTQB trust.
Well, they're squeezing blood out of people that have to work to support their families.
Yeah, right.
You know, it all comes off your check before you get to go buy your groceries. So it's a system of slavery, very, very extremely sophisticated. Not really all that complicated, but it's a very sophisticated group. You know, I don't want to sound wacky or crazy here, but, you know, they kind of resemble these lizard people, these reptilians, also snakes. You know, these people are snakes. I mean, they're and they wear these faces that are laughable. You know, they just had another interview with CBS News correspondents and Jerome Powell where they did the same interview they did with Ben Bernanke. And when Bernanke was telling everybody, you know, they just mark up the accounts. Akin to printing money, but it's more akin to just typing it into the computers, which is setting the stage for, drum roll, suspense. Don't fall on the floor, anybody. Don't hurt yourself. Central bank digital currencies. You know, the Klaus Schwab World Economic Forum Great Reset model of completely throw you into total slavery as a serf. I said that all in one breath, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
They want everybody to make believe that their monopoly money system of keystroking it into computers, and we're just supposed to, I don't know, have nothing and be happy while they live in the lap of luxury. Bozos, these boobs, Donald Trump, boob dude, man, I can't tell you how absurd you are. Talk about stupid people. Look in the mirror, Donald. Take a good look in the mirror, Donald Trump. You know how many people in the world understand that World War III is, you know, not a great aspiration? You know how many people in the world understand that large numbers of people are going to die in World War III if it's not avoided? It doesn't take a rocket scientist, Donald Trump, to understand that World War III is undesirable. So this idea that the world is being run by stupid people.
No, they're far from stupid.
Meet me down at the post office, Donald, and I'll teach you the stupid people waltz.
But you know,
somebody needs to punch his lights out.
But you know, capitalism is the problem. It's got to be communism now, so.
No, what the problem is we've got strippers in the White House. And if Melania Trump doesn't like me, well, that's just too bad, sugar pie. Because this country does not need strippers in the White House. Ask Gary Hart.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ask Paula Jones. Ask all of Clinton's bimbos.
Right.
Putting that old string up. You know, you remember I campaigned for and I voted for Donald Trump to stop the Clintons?
Right.
Because they were the strippers in the White House. And quite frankly, I know why Hillary Clinton destroyed 33,000 emails.
And her server.
But with Blake Fit, you know, they made sure that the Blackberries were smashed with hammers.
Yeah.
She's been running Oliver North and Richard Secord 2.0. She was running Charlie Wilson's war, one of the black bag secret war operations in Libya and Syria. We're moving weapons.
Yeah, you're getting to sound like a robot, Judd.
Well, I mean, we've got a problem with these psychotic sycophants, these immoral freaks that somehow got the idea that you know, murdering. How many Iraqis died during Bush's shock and awe?
I think
1.5 million?
Something like that. And 2.5 million were displaced or something like that, yeah.
And we never saw Bin Laden's body, did we?
Bin Laden, yeah. Tim Osman, exactly.
So we've got this scenario tonight in the world where there's all these lives that are in the balance. And on the cabal, and Steve Roberts, I can't emphasize this enough, going out across the world, and I hope everybody that's listened to this discussion takes a look into their wives' faces and their children's eyes and starts asking the question, when is enough enough? When do we just wake up and realize that the Aryan nations and Nazis of Western Ukraine, they kind of provoked Putin? Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Tony Fauci and Peter Daszak, they're running these bioweapons laboratories across the Ukraine. Heck, they're funding them in Wuhan, China, cooking up deadly weapons of mass destruction. And Putin's supposed to sit there and twiddle his thumbs? I don't like, don't get me wrong, I'm not a big Vladimir Putin fan, although I do like Steven Seagal's Kung Fu movies. Those are pretty good. but he's a friend of Putin's. But here's where I'm coming with this whole thing. Enough is enough. And any boob, any idiot that thinks that, gold digging, social climbing strippers in the White House are okay. They just fall into that scientific classification. And I'm serious. Look it up. Do some research. Scientists are calling them homo stupidius. No, I'm serious. That there is a subspecies of humans that have emerged from the evolution of man that are just dumber than a box of rocks.
But Judd, the Rockefeller Foundation and other foundations brought in the Prussian education system because they knew they had
yes sir,
that was 1852. They knew they had to start dumbing down America.
That's where they were doing the straight arm salute to the American flag. The Nazi salute to the American flag, that was going on in the 30s, right before Hitler, made it kind of popular and famous. And then they changed it to the hand over the heart, right?
Yes.
But Steve, the last thing I want to say, and I hope the listeners of this program pay close attention, there's lives in the balance, and enough is enough. And we outnumber these crazy people millions to one. And it's supposed to be of, by, and for the people. Now, rise up and do something. And tell Donald Trump to just take his golf clubs and get Bill and Hillary Clinton his buddies and just go away.
I say
go
take
away, Donald Trump.
I say, yeah. I say they all should go away. Just we need a societal reset. That's
you know what
need.
I did this afternoon? This is going to shock you maybe, but I left a message for Giselle Maxwell's attorney to give me a call.
Right.
Yeah, I want her to allow me to be a pen pal, to write back and forth to her while she's in prison. I want Giselle Maxwell to know somebody in the world that is deadly serious about preaching the gospel and saving people's souls. See, I'm a minister. So, my choice of dealing with sinners kind of goes with the territory, Yeah, I didn't come to preach to the choir. They're delusional enough. I've even got a lot of Native American friends, you know, and we talk about the peacemaker. Have you ever studied the peacemaker?
No, explain that.
That's a fascinating piece of history. Yeah, he paddled his great white stone canoe through the Great Lakes and the rivers and tributaries, the Colorado River, the peacemaker. And he brought to the Native American Indian nations the commandments of, you know, thou shalt not beat and kill your neighbor and rape his wife and turn his children into slaves.
Unless you call yourself government, right? Then it's okay.
Well, you know, Custer did have a problem at the Little Bighorn, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Well, thanks for coming on, Judd. We're pretty much done here.
Thank you, Steve, for your effort and your time. And one last thing here. You know, the Cabal is a beacon of hope. And, man, people, enough is enough. It's time to rise up. God bless you, Steve. We'll talk later, next time.
All right. Have a good day over there. And thanks, everyone. Yes, come out for tomorrow's show. And... until next time.